Well, it is good to see everybody who's out with us this evening. I want to encourage and invite everybody to open up your Bibles and follow along tonight with the things that we'll have to discuss. And I want to start this evening by turning our Bibles to James chapter 4 and reading the first part of verse 7. James chapter 4 and the first part of verse 7. James 4, and the first sentence in verse 7 says this: Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. The first word in that verse is submit. And God is the one that we are told to direct our submission towards. Now, the word itself means to place oneself in kind of down in the control of another. To be willing to allow them to dictate for you, to determine for you what you will do. It's being in subjection to someone, either an individual, a group of individuals, or an institution. I think that as it is with many things taught to us in the Scripture, while it's important to know the definition of words, it's oftentimes even more beneficial to us to observe that thing, to observe it in action, to see truly marvelous people of God, some of the most faithful, righteous people to have ever lived, and to see how they did this. To show us what it really is and what it really means. And we're going to do that as we go throughout the sermon this evening. But I want to start tonight by presenting a scenario. Imagine someone whose typical everyday practice when they're driving is to drive, 15 to 20 miles per hour over the speed limit. Maybe you don't have to imagine all that hard. This is a person just flying down the road. And they're passing cars on the left, they're passing cars on the right. It's just the way that they drive. And then, say they're out there on New Circle, and they go around one of those corners, and then way up there on the side of the road, they see that white car. Perhaps they see the door propped open, and then they know there's a police officer in there, and he's taking speed. He's got his radar out. He's seeing how fast people are going. And so real quick, they slide their foot over from the gas to the brake. And they hit 55, and they coast right on past that police officer. Now, why did they do that? Well, if it's someone's normal practice to drive 15 to 20 miles per hour over the speed limit, I'll tell you why they didn't do it. Had nothing to do with them being in submission to the law. It had everything to do with them knowing that if I don't do it now, I'm going to get a ticket. And I might even get a court date, and I might even have my rates go up when it comes to my insurance plan. That's just a hassle. The best thing to do, go ahead and slow down for this 500 yards, then speed up again when I get past. Is that a law-abiding citizen? I mean, when you really get down to it, is that a law-abiding citizen? Or is that someone, and I could very well be describing a lot of us in here, is that someone who picks and chooses those times when the law isn't inconvenient for them? Who picks and chooses those laws that they like when they don't have to sacrifice, when it's not too much of a chore or putting too much of a burden on them? Oh, they'll go ahead and they'll follow the law. And those times when it is something that they don't like, that they disagree with, well, they're going to see if they might be able to find a little way to get around it. So no, based upon the very definition of law abiding, that person is not a law-abiding citizen. I want you to look with me, if you will, at two passages. Turn your Bibles with me first to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15, and then we're going to go to Romans 13. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 says this: "Be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." Go back to Romans 13. Let's read the first two verses. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. The passage says this: "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Did you notice that in both of these passages, our obedience to the law has absolutely nothing to do with our agreement with the law or whether or not we like that particular law or how difficult it might be to obey that particular law, and had everything to do with the will of God. Did you notice that as we were reading those verses? Now, of course, you always put the caveat in there that when the law, any human institution, decides that it wants to create a law that's contrary to the will of God, well, then obviously then you've got to, your loyalty is to God, your primary loyalty. But when it comes to obeying the laws of the land, whether or not we like them does not factor into the equation at all. Only seeking to obey or follow the will of God, that's what enters into the picture. So when we're talking about submission, we're not talking about only obeying when that particular law or command is pleasant to me, is something that doesn't require sacrifice to me, is something that does not pain me in any way, shape, or form. Now, we live in a time when, in this country, those who are skilled at finding loopholes to get away with breaking the law, those individuals are actually admired and sometimes even celebrated for their ability to do those things. But I'll tell you this, brethren, that's not a good thing. That's not praiseworthy and certainly not something to admire. The sermon this evening is not primarily about obeying the laws of the land. What I've said up to this point was designed to lead to this question. And it's the one we're going to be spending the remainder of our time with here this evening. Is it possible that any one of us here this evening is even now treating God the way so many treat the laws of the land? Is it possible that any one of us even now is very willing to obey God's commands, when it requires little to nothing of us to do it. But as many do with the laws of the land, when it gets difficult, that's when we start looking for the loophole. That's when we start looking for the way out. And let me ask you this. Could that Christian really be considered a true disciple at all? James commands Christians there in chapter 4 and verse 7 to submit to God. Here's what we need to bear in mind. Submitting to God, the way that James is speaking of it, is something that is not only seen when the submission is pleasant, when we can understand exactly why God's will on a particular topic is what His will is on that topic, when obeying it doesn't require a sacrifice from us, when obeying it is pretty much painless. Submission is not only seen then. Brethren, I would say it is seen especially when the opposite is true. When we don't understand why God's will is what it is on a particular topic. When obeying it will bring about some difficulty and some pain. When we must sacrifice friendships, relationships, comfort, pleasures in obeying the will of God. That, beloved, that's when submitting to God really comes through. I want to read a passage with you that Bible students know very well, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Now, we know this passage. This is a wonderful place to show the relationship that exists between the wife and the husband. But I don't really want to look at it for that relationship. What I really want us to consider as we're reading this is the relationship that illustrates the husband-wife relationship, Jesus and the church. So let's read this well-known passage, focusing especially upon what's said about the relationship between Christ and His bride. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of His body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. What we're looking at here, among other things, is the wife being told, being taught to submit to her husband just as Christ submits to the church. Now, if the wife is being told to submit to her husband, who is not God, and whose plans from time to time will be ill-conceived, poorly thought out, horribly executed, then how much more are we called upon to submit to our Lord who has never and will never make a poor decision, fail in judgment, or fail in anything. We have to remember, submitting to God, as James describes it in James 4 and verse 7, and as the great men and women of faith who have lived and whose lives are recorded for us in Scripture, and those that we have known, those faithful saints over the years, we must remember that submitting to God is not searching out those easy, painless commands, where nothing is required of us besides we do that thing. But it's understanding that sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it may require a career change. Sometimes it may require a new major. Sometimes it may require giving up friendships that for years meant so much, but for whatever reason have become deadly to our spiritual health. Sometimes it may require a rift within the family. Sometimes it may require disappointing ungodly family members or even Christian family members who, for the time being, have chosen to embrace the world rather than God. That's what it means to submit to God. You know, we don't have the right to require that God rationalize Himself to us. We don't have the right to expect Him to justify Himself to us. And we don't have the right, when we don't understand a thing, to say, I will not proceed in accepting obedient faith until my curiosity on this thing is satisfied. We don't have that right. As obligations go, in the relationship between God and us, all the obligation is on our shoulders, not His. And I think in one place we see that. It's James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Turn there with me if you will. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. The passage says this, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, I want to think about that for just a moment, because we know this passage very well, right? We know this passage very well. But we become a hearer only, and then deceive ourselves. When we find a command in Scripture that, quite frankly, we don't like, that, quite frankly, is difficult and requires something of us that we would prefer not to give, or even we come across something that we don't agree with. And I'll tell you what, when that happens, the fault is not in God. He is not the one required to adjust his thinking. That's us, beloved. And we become hearers only when we find that passage and say, I don't understand that. Therefore, I'm not going to do what it says. Or I don't like what this says. This is painful. And this is going to take sacrifice. I'm not going to do that. I'll do some of these other things, but I'm not going to do that. Beloved, when we become that person, we've become a hearer only. And how serious a thing is it? Let's keep reading there in James 1. Beginning now in 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This is called the perfect law of liberty. And it's perfect because of its source. So we live in a society today where so many that we know, that we're around in our school or in our work, are embracing things that God says is sinful. Are extolling lifestyles that God says is sinful. And are doing everything they can to convince us that God's the one who needs to change. That God's the one who's made a mistake. And there are a lot of Christians out there. And it troubles me tremendously how many I know who have begun to buy it, who are being changed, who are no longer submitting to God, but are submitting to the world. We can't do it, brethren. Part of the sacrifice that submission requires is being unpopular sometimes, even ostracized. I've always been struck by the way the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 13 speaks of Christians being willing to go to Christ outside the camp. You ever think about that language, what that idea could express? Go outside the camp. Go where the crowd is not. Go where it's not popular to be. Because a lot of times, that's exactly where Jesus is. We've got to be willing to go to Him, not expect Him to come to us. I want to go a little bit further with this. Another idea of submission that perhaps we may not really even have thought of in these terms, but I think it would be good for us to do it. Submission is acting on another's behalf or in another's best interest, even when it puts a strain on us to do so. Biblically, when we're talking about submission, we're not just talking about obeying someone, whether we agree or disagree with the things that they're saying. We're also going to this extent, being willing to go where they are, being willing to serve, even if it's difficult for us to do it and it hurts us or strains us in some way to do it. It's the very definition of being a servant. I want you to think about Jesus Christ. He's the perfect example in this. As He's the perfect example with all things. In accordance with the Father's will, He gave Himself up to die. But not because He was under human authority to do so. And not because He couldn't have done anything about it. But because He loves us. And because He wants us to be saved. Notice what Paul has to say about this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Now, in these verses, Paul's going to describe this voluntary sacrifice for us. Philippians 2, beginning in 5. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Now, Paul pursues this mind of service, this mind of submission, the attitude that leads to it in the verses that precede those. Let's start in verse 1 and take it to verse 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Are you able to see that what we're describing in these verses, what Paul is describing, is not an individual, a Christian, being forced to submit, kicking and screaming completely against their will, being forced to submit? What we're seeing here is the mind of Christ that each one of us is to possess. The mind that says, you know what? It's going to take a little sacrifice here on my part. And it's going to be a little difficult for me to do this. But I'm going to submit myself to you. I'm going to put your interests above my own. I'm going to put your needs above my own. I may be tired. I may be sore. I may have a headache. I may have had a long, busy day. But you have a need. Nobody's going to drag me over there to you to help. I'm going to do it willingly. I'm going to do it because I love. It's what Jesus did. That He is our perfect example. We looked at the way Paul said it in Philippians. Turn with me back to Ephesians 5. Let's notice how he says it a little bit differently there. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. It says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And notice, "submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ is something we only do when we learn to love as Christ loved. When we learn to love because Christ loves. When we chose to become Christians, we chose the Lord and we chose others over ourselves. God didn't force that decision upon us. He didn't make us do that. But He has shown us clearly that's what Christianity requires. So, having talked about submission, to God and to others, and perhaps being moved to think about it, maybe in ways that you haven't thought about it before. I want to leave you with a question to ponder as we bring the sermon to a close this evening. Have you really, truly submitted to God? And I hope the answer for every single one of us is yes. There could be someone here right now who needs to do so for the very first time, who's not a Christian. And if that's the case, you've got the opportunity now to become one, and we pray, if you truly believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be, the Messiah, the Christ, that means the Anointed One, the Chosen One, chosen by the Father. If you believe that, if you believe He did what He said that He did, came from the Father, lived a sinless life, sacrificed Himself for you, rose again, and is even now at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, it's time to act upon that belief. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus as Lord. And be immersed, baptized, buried in water in the likeness of our Lord's death, and rising out of that water in the likeness of His resurrection, and on the road that leads to heaven. All things are ready, my friends. There's water in the baptistry behind the screen. There's clothes you can change into. Towels you can use to dry off afterward. Do you know what will happen if you make that decision? Heaven will rejoice. And what an extraordinary thought that is. So the Lord's ready to receive you. The question is, are you ready to do what's necessary? And if you truly believe, I hope the answer is yes. Please come forward now as together we stand and sing.